Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Scott Ritter, and Scott is going to talk about the CPAC convention that happened over the weekend. So, Scott, what was your overall impression?
Well, I mean, without commenting on the substance or the, you know, the politics of CPAC, the question was, you know, how much viability politically will Donald Trump have, you know, after leaving the White House? And I think there were, you know, a large number of people in the Republican establishment and, of course, the Democrats who were hoping that he would simply fade away. And what the CPAC convention showed is that Donald Trump has a grip on the Republican Party that is going to last for a very long time. Whether or not he will be able to, you know, carry it through 2024 and follow through on his suggestion that he may run for a third term, is another question. But one thing is certain: Donald Trump will definitely, be a major influencing factor, if not the major influencing factor, on the Republican Party in the build-up to the 2022 midterm elections, and possibly beyond that. He is a force to be reckoned with.
Why do you think that happened? Why do you think he's so powerful?
Well, I think, the Republican Party had a vacuum of leadership. The Republican Party for too long aligned itself with some very, they'll call themselves moderates. I'll call them establishment figures, people who, were aligned with the power politics of Washington, D.C. more than they were aligned with the political needs of their constituents. And I think this was especially true amongst the middle class and the working class in America that had grown, disillusioned with the Republican Party's, ability to, represent them, to help them, to see to their needs, and who had grown distrustful of the Democratic Party. Keep in mind that many of the people who supported Donald Trump in 2016 supported Barack Obama in 2008. And they had believed in the hope, the vision of hope that Barack Obama had, sold them in the campaign. And, they felt abandoned after 8 years of the Obama presidency that they believe he did not live up to his promise. And when they looked back to the Republicans, and in particular the 17 that the Republican Party put up, for consideration in the primaries, there was no one there that was articulating a message that these people could embrace, except Donald Trump. He came down the escalator at Trump Tower in June of 2015, and he was saying things that resonated primarily because it was different. He was saying things that were different than what the other politicians were saying. And he was saying things that people found to be refreshing, even if it was a little off-putting. And I think that a lot of people rallied behind this because it was new. It was different. It was something that they believed, at last we have somebody who is going to look out for us. So I think Donald Trump exploited the leadership vacuum that existed in the Republican Party in 2016. And he has seized the initiative. He's driven out and minimize the influence of the establishment Republicans. And he has a very strong base of support amongst the working class, people that anti-Trump people derisively call, the MAGA crowd, the Make America Great Again crowd. But however, people can think what they want, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what they think about the MAGA crowd. The fact is the MAGA crowd is there, it's real, and it is empowering Donald Trump in a way that no other Republican politician can match with his or her constituency. There is no constituency in the Republican Party that can stand toe to toe with the pro-Trump MAGA crowd today.
What gives with Ted Cruz? I mean, he was like kissing Trump's ring over the weekend. What's your opinion of Ted Cruz? He was groveling.
Well, Ted Cruz is is your prototypical politician. He sold himself as a Tea Party type disruptor, and indeed, you take a look at much of his Senate career, and he lived up to that hype. This is a man who famously read stories to support, I think, Dr. Seuss, to support a filibuster, Green Eggs and Ham or something of that nature. And he's somebody, of all the Republican contenders for the primary in 2016, he's the one that did rally a viable constituency, not enough to beat Trump, but, respectable. He hung in there till the very end. He actually won a couple states. So, this is a man who had credibility, but his credibility was, derived from his rebel status, his rogue status, his Tea Party status. And then he turns around and he basically, bought into the Trump phenomena for 4 years, supported Donald Trump without fail. And I think Ted Cruz recognizes that his political future is attached to Donald Trump because, if he was to detach himself from Donald Trump, his followers are more aligned with Trump than they are with, anybody else. Cruz by himself cannot motivate a constituency enough to make him a viable candidate. And if Cruz jumps ship, there's not, the Romney supporters, the SAS supporters, the more moderate Republicans that remain wouldn't rally around Ted Cruz. So Ted Cruz recognizes that, he basically has one path that he can for his political future, and that is to align himself with Donald Trump as much as possible and hope that Donald Trump doesn't run in 2024 and instead anoints Ted Cruz as the heir apparent. I mean, that seems to be what's motivating Ted Cruz is, Donald Trump's, getting up there in years. His health may not permit a run in 2024. His legal situation may not permit a run in 2024. But rather than distance himself, Cruz is trying to be the loyal, pro-Trump guy. And, maybe in 2024, Ted Cruz will get the nod from Donald Trump and this MAGA constituency will fall in behind Ted Cruz. I think that's what he's hoping for.
But the trip to his vacation in Mexico when the people in Texas was hurting, that's not going to help him, will it?
No, but that will be, look, I'm not defending what he did at all. It was just, it was stupid politically. He's not a private citizen. He's a public figure. He's one of two senators from the state of Texas who, has a duty and responsibility to be standing up for the people of Texas in times of trouble. And a lot of leadership is posturing. It's not as though he could have done anything to change the weather. But leadership is about standing tall, standing your ground, saying the right things, doing the right things, being seen as a symbol that gives people hope. And, the imagery of Ted Cruz, with his suitcase going through the airport is the opposite of that symbol. So, yeah, no, that'll be something that he will, he'll be paying for. But remember this, it's not the MAGA crowd that's attacking Ted Cruz. It's the Democrats. So Cruz isn't losing, many votes here. Texas had a large, pro-Democratic element already. And that element, of course, will exploit Cruz's error by calling him out and seeking to hurt him politically. But the fact of the matter is they aren't going to vote for Ted Cruz and no matter what. I mean, Cruz could have been, godlike, riding around on a white horse with a white hat, pulling babies out of the storming river, and they would still not vote for this guy. So it didn't matter what Ted Cruz does. There's a certain element in Texas that will never vote for him, and there's a certain element in Texas that will always vote for him. So even though it was a dumb move politically, I think by the time 2024 rolls around, it's going to be water under the bridge. It's not going to be a big deal.
I would assume, you know, I watched it on Sunday. I would assume that Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney, they didn't attend the CPAC convention, did they?
No, and, you know, I mean, Mitt Romney may be able to survive politically because, you know, he's a senator from Utah. He's a Mormon, and he has that attachment. Liz Cheney's days are probably numbered. You know, she's up for re-election in 2022, as all representatives are. And, you know, she's already been censured by the Wyoming, you know, GOP. She's not going to get any support from the Republican Party. They're going to primary her. And the likely reality is Liz Cheney is done politically. She won't win re-election, and she'll be finished. It's funny to see the Democrats rally around Liz Cheney right now because she spoke out against Trump. But understand, there's not a single Democrat that supports anything that Liz Cheney stands for other than her opposition to
right.
Trump. She's dead politically. She's done. She'll become a talk show host, and people will listen to her talk. But she's done. And I think one of the important things about this this convention was the way that Trump called people out. I mean, he let it be known. He called them out by name that they're done. He's going to go after them. And, you can't just shrug that off. He's a powerful man with a powerful constituency, and he controls the money in the Republican Party right now. And if I were one of the people who got called out by Donald Trump, I'd be worried. People like Adam Kinzinger, popular in his district, but he's going to be primaried. The Republican Party is going to pick somebody to run up against him, and they're going to remind everybody in Kinzinger's district that this man is no longer welcome. These guys are going to have a hard time. Some of them will, more than likely win re-election, hang on, but their political influence is going to be minimized down the road. And this is, again, the power of Trump, whether you agree with him or not. I mean, I personally don't like what's happening. I find this to be, a very bad thing, but it's a reality. It's there. You can't pretend it doesn't exist because you don't like it.
So this is surprising to you, this whole phenomenon, right?
Not really. It surprised me in 2015, 2016. I personally didn't believe this guy could win a primary, let alone win an election. But there's something that happened in the summer of 2016 that changed that, where he went from being a buffoon, and that's how I would have described him, a political buffoon. No fan of John McCain, not at all, but I am a fan of people who serve their military, and I recognize John McCain's bravery as a prisoner of war. And when Donald Trump maligned him, attacked him, called him less than a hero, implied he was a coward because he was taken prisoner. I felt that was disqualifying. When Trump called out a Hispanic judge and questioned his ability to rule on a case because of his ethnicity, I found that to be disturbing in so many levels and felt it to be disqualifying. But then I saw the Democratic Party handpick Hillary Clinton, despite the fact that Bernie Sanders seemed to be the guy that the majority wanted, cook the books to get Hillary there. And then, you see what Hillary represented, and suddenly, faced with this stark contrast, Donald Trump's crassness and boorishness and whatever other terms you want to use to deride him, became attractive because people had a choice between the establishment. And say what you want about Hillary Clinton, pro or con, she is the living embodiment of the establishment. And then you have Donald Trump, who although he's a billionaire, he is not a part of the political establishment. He is an outsider. And even though there's a huge gulf between, a middle-class steel worker or auto worker and Donald Trump in terms of their, financial realities, they identified more with him. And when I saw that happen, I realized that he really did have a chance of winning this election, not because of the quality of what he was saying, but because of the contrast between his anti-establishment posturing and the pro-establishment reality of Hillary Clinton. And I think, even though Hillary Clinton isn't a viable political force today in terms of winning elections, I think the lesson from that should be, embraced by Republicans and Democrats alike, that if you rally around the establishment too much, you may not win. Yes, Joe Biden's the president now, but he's going to have a hard time fulfilling all of his promises. Already the left is starting to be a little disillusioned, and the MAGA crowd jumps on every mistake he makes. He's not getting a break at all. And in 4 years, America may have had it up to their heads with establishment politics, more of the same, which is pretty much what Joe Biden is delivering. And that window of opportunity may arise again for either Donald Trump to step in, or somebody like Donald Trump, a Ted Cruz figure, or somebody new to step in who, will defy all logic and reasoning for most political scientists who would say they're not qualified to be president, but they're missing out on the point. Presidency is not about qualifications. It's about how much you appeal to the voters. And the establishment candidates may lose a lot of their appeal come 2022, 2024.
Would you say that the Democrats are capable of the same thing, coming up with a non-establishment candidate that could rule all the people in this country, just like Trump did? Do you think it's possible?
Well, in order to do that, they would have to jettison Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, because neither one of those fit that mold. I don't see that happening. I don't see, for instance, I don't believe that Joe Biden is going to run for a second term. I think he's a president. So that means that Kamala Harris is the heir apparent for the Democratic Party. And she is the epitome of the establishment figure. And I don't see her being able to rally the kind of support. I mean, remember, she's from California, and she got less than 1% of the vote in California during the primary. She's a candidate that couldn't win a single delegate. She's not popular, and she'll become more unpopular the more she opens her mouth, unless there's a radical transformation. I mean, sometimes people are transformed by being put in a position of responsibility and performing well. And who knows, maybe Kamala Harris will come into her own in the next 4 years and emerge as a leader that the American people can rally around, and maybe she'll be able to win an election in 2024. Mm-hmm. I'm not ruling that out. But the logic dictates that she's going to be the candidate. So if that's the case, no, there's no chance that the Democrats will pull it. Bernie Sanders is getting too old. I don't see him running in 2024, and I don't see a Bernie Sanders-like figure out there. I mean, AOC, people are talking about her, but I don't know if she's going to be able to get that kind of radical appeal going. But you never know. Somebody may emerge in the political chaos that's going to occur over the next 4 years. Somebody may emerge as that kind of populist leader. And I do think that's the direction this country is going, for better or for worse. That truly populist figures, people who appeal to leaders who appeal to the people, not the establishment, are going to be a political danger down the road. Not a danger, but a political viability. They're going to have opportunities they may not have otherwise had. The establishment's not as attractive as it once was.
And you don't see Cuomo fitting the bill for the Republicans, for the Democrats, do you?
Well, I mean, I think she's going to get the nomination. I think the Democrats aren't going to run anybody against her. I think they've, the Democratic Party has made its decision. She was handpicked. It's not as though that she was thrust upon them by being such a wildly popular figure that the Democratic Party had no choice but to incorporate her. She was a friend's figure politically who was handpicked to come in for the sole purpose of being the Vice President Joe Biden, which means being the presidential nominee in 2024. So that's going to be her role. She's young enough, and she has, she has her health. And unless she does something really stupid politically between now and 2024, she is a viable candidate for the presidency in terms of, checking off all the right boxes. Whether or not she can be a successful candidate for the presidency is another question, because she is the quintessential, you know, embodiment of the establishment. You know, once again, we're going to have the establishment versus populism. And that doesn't mean that the establishment is going to lose. You know, the establishment won in this last election. So, you know, it's not impossible for them to win. But I'm just saying that anybody who thought that, you know, MAGA was going to go away after Donald Trump left office is sadly disappointed by the reality. MAGA is here to stay. And you're probably looking, you know, and what that means is you're looking at, you know, some serious divisions in this country that are only going to get worse before they get better, if they ever get better.
You know, when I was watching CPAC over the weekend, and, you know, the people there, they were just ecstatic about Trump. And I'm thinking, don't they care? Don't they realize that he did not handle, this is my opinion, he didn't handle the COVID crisis as good as he should have? Those people didn't seem to care, did they?
No, I mean, one of the things I got to be careful, because I definitely don't want to insult anybody. Everybody's entitled to their own opinions and their
right.
own beliefs and their own politics. But I will say this, that your average Trump supporter is not a detail-oriented person. They deal with issues superficially. They deal with them emotionally. And they don't get down into the weeds in terms of details. So with COVID, you know, they buy into Trump's shrug move, which he did. He repeated again at CPAC, you know, the China virus, the Chinese brought it on. If it weren't for what China did, you know, we would have been fine and we're going to still recover. But the Chinese did this, and they all buy that. And they don't want to dig any deeper. You know, they won't listen to the World Health Organization, which just finished an investigation that, you know, that talks about the origins of the virus and the fact that it may not have come from China. It definitely didn't come from a Chinese lab, that this was an accident of history, that the Chinese had nothing to do with this. They don't want to hear that. They just say, you know, when Trump says China did it, they say, yep, it's China's fault, and that's all we need to know. So, you know, that's frustrating, because, you know, in order to solve problems, you actually have to correctly define problems. And, you know, the Trump MAGA movement is not about a movement of people seeking viable solutions to critical problems. It's about people seeking to feel good politically about their, you know, their personal beliefs. And again, you're allowed to believe what you want as long as you don't harm other people. But just because you believe that, you know, a virus isn't contagious doesn't make it not contagious. So, you know, I mean, there is facts, there is a reality there. And I believe that the MAGA movement as a whole is disassociated from reality. They're more about, you know, the emotional pull of this, of Donald Trump, than they are about, you know, the facts that are ingrained in what he says, because much of what he says is just factually incorrect. But they don't care. They buy into it. They accept it. It's unlike anything you've ever seen with a politician. I mean, the Trump model that he's following would normally be the kiss of death for a politician. But his followers just don't care. I mean, that's where we're at today in American politics.
Do you think that might trickle down ballot candidates that we don't know about? Do you think that same adoration is felt for those candidates like it is for Trump?
Well, Trump has a mystique that's attached to him. Again, whether you love him or hate him, you have to acknowledge that, you know, he has spent a lifetime building a mystique. It's an artifice. There's no doubt about that. You know, but it's a mystique that makes him a marquee figure. And that's almost impossible for anybody else to match. I can't think of anybody out there right now who has that. You know, we don't have a John F. Kennedy. We don't have a Ronald Reagan. You know, people that can step up and seize the imagination of the American people in a way that can provide an effective counter to Donald Trump. So, you know, that's the problem. It's not that, you know, there's not charismatic people out there. There are. But they don't have the benefit of a lifetime of building yourself up to be this image of grandeur, you know, this larger-than-life figure, this man who sat on TV and stared in the camera and said, "You're fired," you know, the dream of every American to be, have that kind of power in their hands. You know, it didn't matter that it was a TV show. It was fake to begin with. People buy into the mystique. And when Donald Trump came down the elevator, people believed that he was real, that this was real, that it wasn't this artifice that had been painted and put together through, you know, decades of, you know, manipulation and distortion. And that's going to be very difficult. I would say that's going to be impossible to overcome so long as Donald Trump, A, has his health, and B, stays out of jail. You know, so those are the two obstacles he faces going forward, his age and his health. And he has some serious legal obstacles that he's going to have to jump over between now and 2024.
Right. I think the legal problems is going to be the main issue, because he has problems, a lot of problems in New York State. And, you know, given the fact that he's overweight and stuff like that, maybe he might not survive all the scrutiny he's going to get. You know, I don't wish anything upon him, but, you know, he's not exactly a young chicken anymore. And I think the fact that he's got legal problems, that's not going to do himself any good. Would you agree?
Look, stress is stress. I mean, it's tough on a 20-year-old. It's tough on a 30-year-old. It's really tough on a 70, you know, 6-year-old. Or a 72-year-old, however old he is right now. But, excuse me. No, he, you're right. I mean, like, he has a number of obstacles. I actually believe that his legal exposure is less than, you know, what the media is making it out to be. You know, keep in mind that, you know, everybody's talking about his tax returns, but understand this, the IRS has had his tax returns for decades. If he had committed a violation of the law, the IRS would have already come after him. So people are talking about, you know, now that they have the records, they're going to find things. And I actually don't think they're going to find anything that puts him in legal jeopardy. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Plus, he has some very clever lawyers. And, you know, one of the tricks that people play when they have really good lawyers is to delay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have the Attorney General of New York State who was gunning after him, but she's now got another nightmare with Andrew Cuomo,
right,
you know, that she has to deal with. And this is going to distract her. People say, well, she can walk and chew gum at the same time. Remember, the Attorney General is a political figure, even though they are, you know, the senior legal person. They're very political figure. So she's going to be investing a whole lot of effort in Cuomo. It's going to distract her from Trump. Cyrus Vance down in New York City is probably going to be out of office soon, which means, you know, Trump's case is going to be picked up by his replacement. We don't know who that's going to be and if they're going to have the same bloodlust. And again, good lawyers will just drag this thing out, make discovery as difficult as possible, challenge everything, appeal everything. I mean, even if you get a conviction, and a conviction would be years off. If you got a conviction, the appellate process would extend for years. So anybody who thinks that Donald Trump is going to be perp walked in handcuffs anytime soon is smoking dope. Just not going to happen. I actually believe that he's going to survive. There may be something there we're not aware of, and I'm not trying to give this guy a clean bill of health. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But I just don't think it's as, you know, shut and closed case that everybody thinks it's going to be in terms of, you know, the assumption of his guilt. He's been in business a long time. And
On that note, we have to close for our conversation, but I'm sure we'll be talking again. So you have been listening to Scott Ritter. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is All Exits Closed. If you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks.